Do you think maybe we created a little buzz last night? Yeah. Everything was buzzing, I'm telling you. I heard from a lot of people. And I actually heard from Kay. And Kay sent me a really cool verse and commented on it. And I want to share that verse with you. And a lot of us talk about the canon. And I don't want to be negative about anything. But I can just, I need to tell you that it's the most screwed over book there is. It's been tampered with and adjusted, and it's been manipulated. And this is a great example of how it's been manipulated. I posted about a month ago a scripture verse, and next to it was an old Egyptian proverb. And the scripture verse was talking about the kingdom of God. And of course, I've said that's a false kingdom, and it is. Kingdom of God's a false kingdom. But the Egyptian proverb said, connect with the kingdom within you and find yourself. Yes. Isn't that something? Well, obviously nobody screwed with that one, right? And we've got, listen, I want to tell you, there's literally hundreds of sacred scripts out there that haven't been manipulated. And when you go back, even, and Kay does a lot of search back into the original Greek, and she pulled up this verse and wanted to share it with me, 2 Corinthians 5:8. She says, it says in the original, to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. No, that's not what it says. Now, I don't mind the word Lord so much, because the Lord is just an essence of reign. It's just what reigns over you, but it is you. Yeah. Remember, it's not something outside you. That's what you've got to get down, right? There is absolutely nothing outside you. Full stop. That's watching you, or judging you, or condemning you, or promoting you. Now, maybe we like the promotion part, but it isn't there, okay? So pat yourself on the back if you want to. But she said, to be absent from the body is to know you are the presence or spirit. So that's what it says in the original. Totally different meaning, folks. Totally different meaning. Now, the thing we have to understand is that we are not God. You've just got to expunge all that kind of an idea, because the word God to everyone means to reign or worship or rule. And Ken shared with us some things yesterday that I shared with you in a quote that he made about how God was brought in to rule over and try to control the masses. Because here they have all these people, and what do? They want to control them. They want to get taxes. They want to tell them what to do, right? Well, this happened thousands of years ago, back in the Old Testament, when they demanded that there be a king over them. God was formed. There's no difference in the two. And so we want to bring clarity to that. And thank you, Kay, for that interpretation of that. And then a really good friend of mine, a wild Italian lady in Chicago, Dana Cosenza. A lot of people know her on Facebook. And Dana wrote an interesting post, a private message to me last night, and I want to start out by reading it. Dana says, I watched last night. She said, what a wonderful correlation between the body and God. The phantom man, or the man of sin, always tries to exalt itself over truth. And what does a God demand? To be exalted. But the phantom knows its limitations. And therefore creates a God to do its bidding, all the while exalting itself, thinking it's exalting a God. Plus, taking thought for your life is really exalting the phantom man or God. So last night, what was sort of shocking for us, and when I heard this dialogue between a student and a teacher, and the student was talking to this guy, and he said, it was talking about his body. And he said, well, your problems are is that your body is God. And when he said that and continued to dialogue about it, it just blew me away to understand that that's the source of all of our suffering, is to have a misunderstanding about who we are. And we really talked a lot about it yesterday, how much sense it makes. When you just extrapolate and just talk about the fact that you are immortal, that you are eternal, and really, really meditate on that reality, what does it mean? What does it mean to be eternal? And we think in our minds that eternal life, because of all of our bringing up in Christianity and all the things we've been taught, somehow we've been given a gift that is eternal. And that's never what it's been. It's been, and Jesus came to teach us, he said, you are this eternal being. You already are this. But with our concepts and understanding that we were born, and Jesus said, you've got to forsake your father and mother. Well, why was he telling them that? Because this is where you've got all the wrong teaching. And it's been handed down and handed down and handed down, you know, from the beginning of time. You know, that you're a body and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And listen, we're not talking about running from the body. You just have to understand what it is, that it's just a coat. It's just a tent. And we're going to talk a lot about the word responsibility today. It's one of my most despised words. But we're going to talk about it in more detail. And what does that mean? And I think our minds, when you think of irresponsibility, what does the mind do? Oh, well, everything's going to run rampant and go out of control. While the person that's saying that's probably messing around with the organ player. You know? I mean, everybody that operates from the mind, I'm telling you, is a hypocrite. Whatever you send out in judgment, you do it. You've done it. It's in you. You have to have it in you to recognize it. And when I've dealt with close family members and other friends, the thing that slowed me down when I've had a tendency to find fault with them is look back and realize I've done the same thing. It doesn't matter when or how. And just shut the hell up. You know, the best thing I can do for those around me is to see them as myself. Now, if I want to enjoy fully who I am, I have to see my neighbor as myself. And it puts a shut to the up. It cuts the tongue off. You can say to yourself, I'm arrogant. If you're settled within who you are, you can say what to your mind? You're arrogant. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You can say that because it's constantly wanting to give commentary on what's going on in the world and what we should do or shouldn't do. Well, what is all that? That's God. That's God talking is what it is. And so the first lesson, we've talked about how convinced we are that we're a body. And it's probably the most damaging thing, that it's really the heart and crux of where all our difficulties come from. Because out of it comes what? The fear of death. The fear of suffering. But yet it's the one that creates the suffering. It's really a rat race. And so the phantom man is this person that's created a god in its own mind, in its own image. It's reverse of what we thought, right? We think God's created us in his image. No, we've created a god in our image. And we worship it and we manipulate it, what? To try to get us to do things. I remember, of course, I loved watching the old movie, The Ten Commandments. You know, what a thing to bring up, right? But here's Yul Brynner, right? And his son's about to die. And what is he doing? He's laying and seething and exalting these statues, these Egyptian gods in front of him. And he said, just let my son live and I'll build pyramids to you beyond the clouds. Well, we're the same. We've done the same thing somewhere in our life. I know several, because of my upbringing and being in evangelicalism, and they believed you could lose your salvation. So, I mean, I just totally give the hell up on all of it. I'm just telling you, I just said, there's no hope for me. You know, for sure I'm going to hell. And I'm sure I've lost my salvation a zillion times, because my mom would say every time I smoked, you're going to hell. Well, if you're going to hell, you lost your salvation. Same thing, right? It over and over again. Well, it was a good thing for me, because as a 13-year-old, I just threw all the stuff to the curb. I said, these guys are nuts. And then I went and decided to be a fundamental Baptist after that. I tortured myself, I'll tell you. Oh, man. So, what does a God demand? To be exalted. What do we do to ourselves? We exalt ourselves. The ego, the egocentric man. So the phantom man knows its limitations, so therefore has created a God to worship and do all of its bidding. It's quite a triangle there, isn't it? Huh? This is why I'm so sensitive when I listen and see posts and I hear teaching that refer to God in any manner. It's why I've become so sensitive to it, because I've seen really the heart of the problem is this body-God connection. And I see how it's holding everyone down, to know their real heritage. Well, if you're eternal, you can have no beginning. You are eternal. You didn't get something that's eternal. You are eternal. Life and love. Wow. Now, I think we can all, with our heads, we'll agree with that. But what does that really mean? It means you had no beginning. It means you had no creator. Whoa. Well, what happened in Genesis then? It's just flipped. It was man creating a God in his image. What? After he was formed of the ground and made a body. Wow. Isn't that something? You go in there and read that now and it makes perfect sense. Let us make man in our image. Well, who's the R? Huh? Whoa. Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Here goes the finger right here.
Yeah.
Huh? It's pretty clear now. And you don't have to change the... They didn't remember to change that up because they didn't see it.
Yeah.
But that's what it's talking about. And I've got a lesson on the Lord God that was created in Genesis and what that's about. So anyways, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. But that's all we're doing, is taking thought for what? A life that we think is going to end. Whew. Big trouble there in River City. Huh? A lot of fear there, isn't there? We need to be honest with ourselves and realize that we fear death. Yeah? Go to funerals, wail, moan, carry on. The Hebrews, I'm telling you, when there's a funeral, talk about, they hire people to mourn because they're annihilationists. Their Christ has not come yet to them. And so they believe when you die, that's it. Nothing more is happening. And that, you know, that's probably not a bad thing to think, really, about that, right? You just got to realize Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. It means you're just dead already. You're living in a death realm, afraid of death. That's what a death realm is. And Jesus said the last enemy was what? Eliminating what? The fear of death. And so it's that's how important it is to realize you're not a body. Whatever comes to you, whatever happens to you is for you. It's never against you. And none of us are going to stay here in this tent, in this coat, forever. You might as well write it down. It's just not going to happen. And it doesn't need to happen. So, What is God? Huh? Hey! High five, Sally! Five, Sally. Phyllis is going to be quiet today because she flunked yesterday. When you start thinking now about God and the use of the word, and you realize now you're just talking about your ego, your body self, it's going to shut you up. It's going to help get it in line. What's all this activity going on with this body, mind, God deal? What is all this? Huh? And I remember when it first really hit me. Now, even back when I shared Open Sesame, the very first time I ever shared in The Phantom Man, I talked about this, but it wasn't as clear. And I hadn't really got the guillotine out and cut the head off of God. I mean, who would say such a thing? But I remember when it really hit me that it was really true, I was afraid to say it. Why? I thought, well, why am I afraid? It must mean it's true. The fact that I'm afraid must mean what I'm hearing is absolutely true. Because thinking that there's a God creates fear. And this was the whole purpose of why it was created back in the Hebrew, with the Hebrews, is to create fear with the people and try to control them. Right? And so here comes the word responsibility. So, if you believe you're a body, then you have a God. They both are synonymous with each other. You can't have one without the other. Okay, you need to understand that. You cannot have one without the other. This is what rules over your body. This is the mind-body connection. So the mind is really the God ruling over the body, right? Yep. And a mind screwed onto a body is hell, I'm telling you right now. Okay? It's where all of our difficulties come from. All of your anxieties, all of your frustrations, all of your fears, all of your worries, all of them come from this center, this connection. And so what I've learned and what I want to teach you and share with you is, ask yourself when you get stuck, when you start to have difficulties, who is it that's saying this? Where is this coming from? Question yourself. To whom does this come? And you'll realize it's coming from the mind-body, God-body connection. And you'll dismiss it. And I'm telling you, it'll save you a lot of trouble. Lots of trouble. It will deliver you. And you'll what? You'll get in center with reality, which is this omnipresent love that you are. And the reason omnipresent love is safe and can be trusted is because it's never, ever trying to control. Because it knows everything's in order. Nothing's out of order. There's nothing you have to do. The word "have" is another very condemning word. I catch myself all the time rushing around. And my spirit says, what you in a hurry for? Why are you anxious? Why do you got to pass this guy in front of you to get at the back of the front of the next line? Huh? Why? It's really calmed my driving down, I'll be honest with you. What's the hurry? What is the hurry? There's no such thing as passing time. No such thing. Huge, huge revelation to understand that. But I think you can get the connection now when you start to understand this. Who are you? You are omnipresent love that is all and in all. If you're all and in all, where can you go? There's nowhere to go. You're it. I like what some of the sages say. When you find yourself, you've discovered the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole universe gets in line with love. It's all in line with love. That's its operation. I was going to say something else, but my tongue's twisted up. But I love Victoria Bianco. Some of you know her on Facebook. And I remember a year ago or so, maybe a couple years ago, she was on there chipping away and said she was in at work, and somebody asked her how she was doing. She says, just great. And she says, love is the glue that holds everything together. I thought that was beautiful. It's what's holding everything together. So, the desire to control. This is a big Dean Dosher term. The desire to control comes what? From a body-God connection. Right? People wanting to play the role of God. And then using God as a puppet to back it up. Well, God said this, and God said that, and God's going to do this, and God's going to do that. That's all coming from your mind, folks. All of it's coming from the mind. The egocentric connection to your body is where the God of this world is formed. And I'm telling you, the only God there is the God of this world. So if you're praying to get something changed in the world, you're praying to the God of this world. If you think anything needs to be changed out there, folks, you're off base, okay? Yeah, I know there's all this buzz about elections and all this stuff. And you want to know what? Love doesn't care. Love does not care who gets into office. It has no preference. It's not prejudiced. It's not hypocritical. Absolutely no care, okay? So whoever gets in, I'm going to love them to death. Whoever it is, it's going to be the best one. It's going to be the right one. It doesn't matter. So let go all that baloney. Okay? It just doesn't mean anything. It's what? The cares of this world. It's what it is. I know it's hard not to get caught up in it all, right? But I don't really follow it anymore at all. I'm not even really watching the TV anymore. Because I just realized it's just all bull crap. What's on there? It's just a bunch of baloney. Right? What does love care about? Nothing? Nothing. Are you kidding me? We're back to the word responsibility again. Huh? So what are the two things that people worship? So I want to bring the connection back here. When you just think loosely about this. What are two things that we could put everybody in this bucket and say, one or two people worship one or two things.
Fear and love.
Money and self.
Either God or the body. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Either God or the body. One of the two. Now we found out they're one and the same. So that's going to save you some work now. Right? You're going to have to just deal with one entity now, not two. Okay? But listen now. I feel sorry for people that are chiseled and that are so gorgeous they can't get over themselves. I really do. I had a good friend for many, many, many years, over 25 years, I had a friend. And I found as I've gotten more revelation over time and more understanding that some of my friends have disappeared. Because they just couldn't handle it. And I'm just telling you, this good friend of mine, I mean, I miss him, but the world just isn't big enough for this guy. I'm just telling you. This guy is drop-dead gorgeous. If I were to stand him here as a specimen in front of you, all of you would just levitate over it. He was just beautiful. And he knows it. That's the problem. He knows it. And he gets a lot of attention because of it. And he just can't get over himself. And finally, one day, I told him. Because he came out, he took his vacation, he came out to stay with me. And I was all about just wanting to know truth. I didn't want to hang out. And we didn't do anything like that. And I called him up after he went home. I said, what did you come out for? You know, I said, I want to get together to understand truth and talk about truth. And we didn't spend any time doing that. And he's never talked to me since. He won't have anything to do with me now. So what? It meant that what I knew was true. If I ever hear back from him, what I said was true. because doesn't have never tried to connect with me or contact me, and it's just because I've always been a hound dog for understanding truth. It's been, you can ask my wife, when I met her, I just said, you know, that's all I'm about. And it happened years and years ago when I had been through a divorce and had lost a business, and my family wasn't even talking to me, my own family. And you want to talk about feeling alone. My business was going down the tubes. I'd lost my wife. My family wasn't talking. They were embarrassed for me because they're super religious. Even my brothers and stuff. Well, who would ever believe a thing he said? You know? And I remember riding off on my motorcycle in the mountains of Colorado and saying to myself, God, whatever it is, whatever it takes, I want to know truth. Now, I was still a little screwed up on my theology there, wasn't I? But my heart was longing to find itself. And I said, it doesn't matter what it costs me. I said, I don't care what it costs me. I want to know reality. I want to know truth. And here we are today. And that's never changed, folks. I'm just telling you. Now, what is that? I hope that's within all of you. That strong, strong desire for what? Freedom. Not to be free from something, but free to know yourself. I hope that that burning desire is in you, because it's what keeps you. Okay? I don't keep you. My words don't keep you. This isn't about me. My only passion is for you to find yourself, not for you to follow me. Not for you to say, Mike said this or Mike said this. What do you say? What is it that you say? About yourself. We're not talking about the ego here. We're talking about this eternal, immortal love that you are. That's what? Without hypocrisy and without prejudice. Pure. It's pure. That's why it doesn't need to control anything. Because there's nothing to control. Absolutely nothing. Well, the mind of man, and certainly religious philosophy, can't stand that. It can't handle that. And this is why the birth of God was formed. Because people are gathered around, well, we got to do something. You know, because it's going to go to a hell in a handbasket here. There's going to be riots. And what did the people do when Moses left? Well, they built themselves a god. Why not? Why wouldn't they? That's what it was all about, wasn't it? They made the golden calf and worshipped it. Crazy. So, to believe in the body is the birth of God in this world. And I think, again, what Dean says. In the beginning, God, and all hell broke loose. He said that to me a couple years ago, and I wasn't really sure I understood the depth of that, but I do now. In the beginning, God, and all hell broke loose. Well, hello. Well, you're sort of afraid to say that, right? I wouldn't want to curse my God that's supposed to take care of me when I have a problem. We don't go to him when things are going good, just when we're asses in a sling. Help me. Help me keep my ego, mind going here. God, come on, I got a good thing going here. And we laugh about it a little bit, but listen, there's millions of people in bondage. We need to feel very, very privileged that we have, that you have, enough of a desire to want to meet and to get together and meditate on these things. You need to really be thankful that you're here. And that we're listening to this kind of truth. I know I'm very thankful every day. Very, very appreciative that I understand what I do, what I know. And so, what are we talking about? Well, this isn't a New Age philosophy, okay? A lot of people say it's New Age. Where you might think you're responsible for all the hurts in life. But in reality, in truth, there are no hurts. Now just let that sink in a little bit. There are no hurts. There is nothing happening. Whoa. There is nothing. Who's the one that thinks something's happening? It's the devil running around. Look at this, look at that. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Huh? There is nothing happening. Not in the kingdom of heaven. What's happening in the kingdom of heaven? Nothing. Oh, no, you're kidding me. Nothing? Listen, when your mind is empty of all thought, what is there? What's there? Hello? Nothing. This is called heaven. This is called the kingdom of heaven. When nothing is happening, what can start to begin to happen with you? You start to listen. To what? To this. To this here that guides you into all truth. Now, this afternoon, we're going to talk about the heart. And I'm actually going to talk about the heart organ. I'm going to tell you about some things that are absolutely amazing about the heart. Okay? Because this is the seat of your soul. Now, the sages talk about that the heart center is on the right side of your chest, right? But it's big. It can be in both places. Okay? But I'm going to talk about that. Just as a metaphor, I don't want you to get all attached to your body again, but I want you to hear about how the actual heart functions and how mysterious that is and beautiful it is, because it's quite amazing what that thing does. Okay? But anyways, there is no one responsible for anything. Whoa. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Now, where would there be no one responsible for anything? Where would that place be? We just got done talking about it. Where nothing's happening. The sages call it the great void, the great emptiness. And you, all of every one of you now, I want to give you a shortcut to becoming awakened to yourself, okay? Totally awakened to yourself. You have to find that void and that emptiness. You have to find it. So what? You can begin to listen to your soul. So you begin to listen to your spirit. Listen, if you're anxious, that ain't it. You're not listening. What are you listening to? Your anxious mind. You have to find this void, this emptiness where nothing is happening for you to begin to be led. And I'm telling you, there's a current there. There's a river that knows the way. It knows what to do. It knows what to do. Okay? It knows what to do. Are you hearing me? It's not this. It knows what to do. And I'm telling you, I call it the female intuition. That's what I call it. Don't get all excited now, Liz. But I'm just telling you, whenever I've had real critical decisions at my business and stuff, that I've made sure that there's some gals in the room with me, and I'm trying to tap into their antenna. What does this feel like? Because they'll just say, I don't know what it is, but it just isn't right. You can't talk about it, you can't define it, but something isn't right. Right? Now, I'm not saying men don't have this, but I think, and I don't want to be prejudiced here, I think women maybe are a little more sensitive to it is all. That just something isn't right, Mike. Diane said that to me. She couldn't explain it. She just said something isn't right. That's all she said, and I trusted it. And you want to know something? It was right on. Whenever I've listened to that, because what do men do? Want to go out and make a living. We're always out there trying to make something and do something, right? We're trying to make it happen. Well, and that's okay, but when you start to be guided, and if you remember the passage in Scripture about Paul, remember what it said? He was all ready to go somewhere. and the spirit forbid him. This is that intuition, okay? So call it intuition. I don't know what it is. But when you're there, your mind isn't thinking about anything. It's just a gut feeling. And it directs you. It guides you. So when you think about, well, you're going to be irresponsible and you're just going to sit around like a couch potato, you know, playing video games. That's not it at all. It's just we're going to slow down long enough to listen to the inner spirit guide us and teach us. That is who is going to say, yeah, Mike's full of shit, or I really agree with what he's saying, okay? That's what has to happen. Huh? And I don't care what you say to me, believe me. I've had a lot of stuff happen. And I just say, well, Father, forgive him, you know? And I don't think every word out of my mouth is right on the money, but I know my motives are pure.
That's right.
Right? That's what I can tell you, right? So don't listen to the words, listen to your heart. And what connects with you, okay? And if you're having difficulty, we can all agree that if we're anxious and frustrated, it isn't fun. It's called hell and destruction, right? So if you get your ass in a sling and you find yourself in hell and destruction, give me a call, I'll help you. Okay, you can trust me for that, all right? I mean, if you really get stuck, huh? I'm serious. I know how to get my ass out of a sling. I really do. And you know why? I've been there a lot. Okay? I've had 7 businesses. What's that tell you? They didn't all work. Okay? And when we started this one, I told Diane, I said, let's not do it. No. Let's not do it. And so when I entered into this business we're in now, I never, ever, ever set out to make it successful. It was never my intention. We just were flirting with stuff. We were just playing on the computer. That's how it started, just playing on the computer. Yeah, well, let's try it. What she said, what do you got to lose? That's what she said. Yeah? And here we are today. We've got 30 employees. We've got a beautiful factory uptown here that we built. And when I started this business, I was building this home and we had one employee. I always call it was a 1.5 horse operation. Because we had Liz who's full time and I was half time just trying to help her keep everything going, right? And I built this house. We didn't have any income. This business barely produced enough income to pay Liz's salary. It wasn't making a lot of money, okay? But it was buying inventory and it was growing, right? But it wasn't, I couldn't draw a paycheck from it. But I built this house without any income. I borrowed money from my dad to build this house. He mortgaged his home that was paid for and gave me money to build this home. But it was just all faith. And Diane moved her business out here and we started Full Spectrum Solutions in the basement here. And it operated out of here for about 4 years. We built light fixtures out in the barn. That was the manufacturing plant. That pole barn out there. Then the neighbors got wind of it and a semi pulled in once and we got in trouble. And we were just looking to get another building then. Finally, we felt like could afford another building. And a month later, I found a building and we moved out. So we got our ass out of a jam there. Anyway, the whole point of this is there is a spirit within man that guides you. And that's what you can trust. Now, I want to tell you how you can trust your own spirit, right? And we just said it. You aren't anxious. There's no hurry. When there's no anxiousness and there's no hurry and there's no worry, what are you doing? Listening. Yes, you're listening. You're waiting on your own spirit that is you to guide you. Everybody's trip's different, guys. That's why we can't. There's no formula. Everybody's trip is different. You know, if two people had the same trip, you start a church. Huh? That's not what we're about here. We've had people came when we were down in North Carolina. What you organized with? Nothing. They couldn't believe it. No, we're not affiliated with anything. It's got a tag and a name so you can find it on the internet. That's the only reason. And so, all good teachers, listen, all good teachers want to help you find yourself. It's not about exalting them or raising them up or making them feel good. It's not what it's about, folks. It's not about, and there's a difference between preaching and teaching. A preacher tells you what to do. A teacher tells you who you are. Okay? And that's your connection. When you're out by the barn wrecks and you're all alone, all you got's yourself. And if you're connected to that, it will guide you. And so all I'm doing is trying to help you get connected with this beautiful spirit that you are. Wow. Omnipresent, eternal immortality. Holy smokes, that's a good deal. That's quite an exchange, isn't it? And I told everybody, I loved everybody so much after we watched that Hubble telescope thing about space. I love you so much, I will give each one of you a galaxy of your own. I would. If I could, I'd give you a galaxy. That's how much I love you. Isn't that nice? I right now declare each one of you will have a galaxy. What? To reign over? No. To love over. Totally different, isn't it? Huh? What's love do? It never controls. It never wants to do anything. It is everything. It is everything. It is everything. Love never wants to do anything. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. Anything! Put that word in there. Anything. We haven't got that straight. I shall not want anything. And so whatever comes to you, if a Cadillac or Rolls Royce rolls up in the driveway, hop in it and enjoy it. Don't feel guilty. Hop in it and say, well, thank you, Father. I like Rolls Royces. And then when it goes, what? Be thankful that you had it and wave goodbye. Right? No control. Then guess what? Every moment you're enjoying it, aren't you? There's no fear of loss. There's no desire for gain in this place. It's just a beautiful place. It's wonderful. So, the desire for the body is God. Dean talks all the time about the desire to control. It comes from man trying to play God. Talk about all the time. He says, well, people will come in because they have a little get together down there. They call it a Bible study, but he said, well, we shouldn't call it that. But they get together and somebody will come in that hasn't been there for a while or something, tries to take over the meeting. Well, he says, oh, it's their desire to be God. We just let them ramble on. They usually don't come back. Wanting to control, right? Wanting to dominate the conversations, wanting to tell everybody what it is. What's up? And those things can happen, but when I was there, I've been there a couple times to the meetings, and it was just a real open, wonderful meeting where everybody was sharing a little bit, and we were all just enjoying each other. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And some wanted to share, and some didn't, and it just moved along, and we just all had a wonderful time. It was great. Nobody was trying to control anything. And it was a beautiful place. It's called heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven. So the desire for the body is God itself. Your body is God. That's what you got to get down here. Okay? Your body is God. We worship it. We exalt it. We try to prop it up. We want it to drink from the fountain of youth. So it will never die. But if it's not you, no worries, huh? Hey, no worries. If it's not really you, no worries. We're not trying to keep it up or put it down. Either one. It's just a coat. It's just your jacket. It's just your suit. I like that one. There's a picture on Facebook where it talks about our tent or our body, and it has a space suit up there. and you look through the glass and there's nothing there. There's no face in there. That's what the body is, guys. Now, if you really get in tune with this and really, and your spirit starts to catch you, guess what? You're going to go out of here and you're going to say, wow, well, I remember what Mike said now. I'm not my body. I'm going to quit worshiping God. Huh? Whew, whoa. It's real silent. Huh? Isn't that something? Isn't that a wonderful, clear revelation? Huh? To understand this? Huh? It's beautiful. It really, 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 really clears up a lot of bullshit. I mean, a big pile of bullshit is clearing up. Big pile. As long as you believe you are a body and a mind, right? You will be subject to this world and have a fear of the God over this world. It's really the only God there is the God over your world. And if you've got problems with stuff that's going on out there, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's elections or presidents or any other activity going on in this world over there, out there. You got to remember, this is your world. It isn't mine. I want nothing to do with it. In my world, there's peace. You want to know why? Because there's peace here. There's peace here. And I take that peace wherever I go. And wherever situation I get in, I bring peace to the situation. I don't come into a conversation, what do you think about this? Well, that's going on, and this is going on, all hell's breaking loose. I don't talk that way anymore, folks, about anything. Because why? Nothing's happening in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing. And so you're always in a place where you can listen. You're always in a place where you're really, truly protected. Very truly, wonderfully protected. Because wherever you go, you know where you're at. Huh? You're really, really connected to where you're at. You're in touch with what? All? Well, that's a good thing to get in touch with, folks. And it's never, ever complaining. It's never giving commentary on the activities of this world. Ever, ever, ever. It's not coming from love. I'm telling you. It's not where it's coming from. So if that embarrasses you a little bit, why then fess up to it. Huh? Be humble. Recognize it. What's going on in the world? There's a God of karma. Some people believe in a God of reincarnation. I'm telling you, if that's what you believe, that's what you get. You're going to live with that fear your whole life. Be my guest. I'm telling you, it's all a bunch of horse hockey. It really is. And I'm not going after people that believe that stuff, but I'm just telling you, I want nothing to do with it. How in the world could I be immortal, eternal love without beginning or end and regurgitate myself back into another body over and over again? And why would I even want to? Where does all that come from? The mind? The mind? Huh? The mind? Now let's go back a little bit, because I know a lot of people out there that are in my circles believe this stuff. I know a lot of them do. How could eternal, immortal love and life ever recreate itself? It already is everything. It already is all. What more the hell do you want? Jiminy Christmas. Wake up, people. What more could you get than all? Help me. Could you get any more than all? Does anybody here disagree with that? If you got all, could you get any more? Is that enough? Is that enough? Hello? Come in. Is that enough? Is all enough? Should be enough, shouldn't it? All is enough. Okay? Now, what's in charge of all? Love? Unconditional love? Without prejudice? Without hypocrisy? It's safe. It's a really safe place to be. Huh? So let's just put the shut to the up. Okay? Shut your hell up. Yeah. Shut the hell up. Please. It's for your own good. I'll listen to you. I'll listen to people go on and on and on and on. I've got a person that's come here for years, and they said, you know what, Mike, I'm just not ready to give up my God. I don't like your teaching. I said, well, be my guest. But I'm just telling you, this person has a lot of problems with their body. Huh? And some of you might know who it is. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge anybody. But listen, guess what? They're intertwined. Okay? A lot of problems with the body. God, hello. We've just made the connection, haven't we? Huh? I don't want to give up my God. Well, good luck. Okay? Because I'm telling you, it's hell. It's what it is. And we're trying to bring some clarity to that. But I don't want to be subject to this world. I don't want to be tossed to and fro every time somebody farts on TV. Yeah. I really don't. Okay? That's why I've turned mine off. Now, there was a post on there that Dean had wrote. Chevin Roberts had put it on her wall and shared it with me. If you really, really have a heart to help others, you will never, ever give them a God. Rather, give them love, undefiled of a God. Love has no social God, and truthfully, has no God at all. That's what Dean posted. It's a beautiful post. Now, what happens when your God disappears? Hello, everybody listening? Right. The body goes with it. Now that we've made this connection, guys, you're really, really, really going to be successful, I'm telling you. Now that we've made this connection, when your God disappears, what else disappears with it? Fear. The body. Well, fear is a symptom.
I think fear and body are putting out.
Right. But when your God disappears, the body-mind concept disappears with it. Okay? This is where all of your trouble comes from, is the body-mind concept. Okay? Remember, they're synonymous. Your body is God. Okay? That's where all these ideas have come from. Right? So, now I want to go back and take you to your center. Okay? I want you to really meditate on this, what I'm saying. What if you just left everything alone? What if you just left everything alone? What if you observed something and never reacted to it mentally or physically? You just left it alone. You didn't fight. You didn't try to analyze it. You didn't debate about it. You just looked at it and left it alone and kept your mind centered on yourself. What would you think would happen?
It goes away.
It disappears. So what? What can happen then? You can listen. You can begin to listen to this. Whoops, I pointed the wrong thing. Forgive me. Begin to listen. You begin. Well, I need to say it again because this is important. This is what you can do in meditation when you find yourself in a problem, okay? Because all of the sages teach this in a different way. What if you just left everything alone? And right, the mind says, that's irresponsible. Well, just shut up, would you? For a minute. Could you just shut up for a minute? Say, what if you just left everything alone? What if you observed something and never reacted to it mentally or physically? Now, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do what I just told you? When are you going to do this? When a problem comes. When a problem presents itself to you. What if you just left it alone? What if you just observe it and don't react to it mentally or physically? And you just left it alone. You didn't fight it. You didn't try to analyze it. You didn't try to debate about it. You just looked at it and left it alone and kept your mind centered on what? Your heart. What do you think would happen? You would have to be... Go ahead.
It disappears, goes away, it's gone. And you have clarity.
Right. And you're connected to what?
To who you really are.
That's right. That's exactly right. But he's telling you what happens. And what happens is you become the self. You become yourself. This is how you get to your center. You don't need me for this, folks. I'm just giving you the open sesame for life right here. I'm not telling you what to do, am I? I'm telling you to not do anything.
Oxymoron.
Oxymoron.
It's the opposite of what we think.
Exactly. Listen now. This is the secret formula to open sesame. Right here. Whenever something comes to you that shocks you, that upsets you, that causes you to be anxious to any degree, what if you just didn't do anything? Does anybody live there? Does anybody live there? Right. But listen, you can, it's to think that you're working on it's good, but listen, this is you. It's deeper than that. That's a good start. But you got to remember, all you're doing is connecting to your spiritual guide. I'm just telling you how to get connected to yourself. I'm not telling you anybody what to do. Some lady sent me a big email, said, Mike, what do you think about tongues? And I thought about it a little bit. And I said, well, back when I was going to Marilyn Hickey Bible College, back in the early 90s, Marilyn Hickey's Assembly of God, charismatic, fun people. I mean, I got to tell you right now. They're the happy church. They're excited people.
Yeah.
Right? We speak in tongues. And blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And I just told her, I said, you know what? I said, I don't care what you do, okay? I don't care what you do. You just need to realize nobody's listening. Okay? That's all I said. There's nobody listening. If it helps you get in touch with your center, why not? I'm not going to tell her not to do it. And I'm not going to tell her to do it. And she says, I don't know. She says, I just do it when I'm alone in the car. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? I don't care. Just don't start teaching it. Because then what are you doing? You're preaching, right? Yeah. Nobody else has to do it. Isn't that freedom? Sure. Isn't that beautiful? I don't care what you... I mean, who cares if you're the only one listening to it? There ain't anybody there bitching about it except yourself. And I'm telling you what, when you get caught with me, myself, and I, it's hell. There's three rats in there trying to... Tasmanian devils going after one piece of meat.
Yeah.
And it's you. And you ought to hear them things when they throw meat in at them. They're cutest, softest little things. They throw meat in to feed them, and I'm telling you, the screams come out. Oh, they aren't friendly. We saw them down in Tasmania. I was in Tasmania to the park, the Tasmanian Zoo. Anyway, okay. Let's just say that again, because I think this is really important today to help you when you're anxious, when you're afraid, when you're worried. What are you doing? You're just getting ahead of yourself, aren't you? With your mind. You're just out in front of yourself. Yourself's still there. It doesn't go anywhere. It's still there. It's still with you. It hasn't went anywhere. You're still you, 100%. But wherever you're at, if you find yourself in hell, you can cry out to yourself and say, help! And get still and listen. Because you can't listen until the anxiousness goes away. Right? This is what I was telling Ann when I told you the story yesterday. Everybody was anxious. I was even anxious, you know, when I got the call. I love Ann. And I didn't know she had any issues, and it was something that just happened new. And the Spirit just come over me, because when I first got it, I didn't know what to say. And I just listened. And finally I realized and said to her, you have to get in that place where it doesn't matter one way or the other if you stay or go. You have to find that place, and boom, you could feel the peace right over the phone. We were just all getting goosies. She was in the hospital bed getting goosies, and I was on the phone getting goosies. And we would just start loving each other because it doesn't matter. And what does the mind do? Well, you're teaching people to be irresponsible, Mike. Well, we've done that enough. I've been so irresponsible so much, I'm tired of it. I'm irresponsible with my responsibility. It's just a rat race. Yeah. What's that all coming from? It's just coming from wanting to control, isn't it? Huh? And everybody's always saying it about everybody else. They think they're responsible. But they're afraid the world's going to be irresponsible. And where does that come? The law? Karma? Okay. So, when you don't fight it, when you don't debate it, wow, we got beautiful stories in the Old Testament about this. Many stories. The enemy appeared to Israel. They were outnumbered and surrounded. And what did the Lord say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see your own salvation. Stand still and shut the hell up. Shut it up. Okay, please, people, just stop. Now, what's so beautiful about this is that if you ever get in touch with this for 1 second, you'll never, ever forget it. And you want to know what? You're awakened. You're fully awakened. You're fully liberated. You're fully who you are, yourself. And I'm telling you, when you connect to this, you'll never, ever, ever forget it. You'll remember that feeling that overtook you, and it will keep itself. It will check you. Because, you know, you go out and you head down the road, and sure enough, somebody pulls out in front of you. And you want... Whoops, what did I do? I used to be an awful driver. I mean, awful. I was bad. She can tell you. I was bad. Me. Tasmanian devil right here. Awful driver. I didn't want anybody to be in front of me. Ever. It's terrible. It's really, really, really enjoyable and peaceful to drive around a 700 horsepower race car and not want to get in front of the line. Now, the car, I could just have a moped now. I don't need all those ponies anymore. You want it?
I'm not there yet. I'll drive.
Okay. I got a beautiful SSR downstairs. It's got a blown Corvette engine in it that just is crazy. But I have no use for it anymore. At least the power horsepower I don't. Got the goat. Trying to sell that. Okay, so we're going to take this up another notch a little bit. We're going to talk about the same thing in a little different way. As long as you react to things through the body, through your own body, you believe your body's sick. You believe your body has mental anguish. Your body is suffering from some condition. This is what blasphemy means. This is blasphemy. What are you doing? Why is it blasphemy? You're worshiping your body. You're worshiping your body. It's violating your spirit to worship your body. That's why it's blasphemy. Okay? I know it's a strong word, but I want to wake you up. Okay? It's blasphemy for you to worship your coat. Just grab your coat, hang up. You want to worship your coat? Come on. Let's get with it here. Really? You know, put it in the center and we're going to do a seance around it, start a fire. Holy coat, holy. Holy tent. That's what we do. But that's how silly it is, isn't it? Huh? Because the truth is, you are not your body in any form. If you were, it would be eternal. It would never go anywhere. Okay? Ever. So, what's this all about? We really need to wake up and really realize we are not the body. You are not the body. I think I've given you really clear instructions on how you, not follow me, but how you can get in touch with yourself. Where, because I can't be with you everywhere and you call me up all the time. What do I do now? What do I do now, Mike? I can't be there and do that. I can't do that for you, and I don't want to, okay? Please. But if I can get everybody here and everybody that's listening to get in touch with who you are, I mean, it's so beautiful to know who you are, to get in touch with that. It will never, ever forsake you or leave you, ever. And so when anxiousness comes, it's a good thing. Because what's it a call to do? Be still. Put the shut to the up. And then wait for the connection to hook up. And what's going to happen for you folks as you get... I mean, obviously, I'm conditioned to this now. This works for me all the time now. I really am. But it doesn't make me different than you. Okay? I'm no better than you. I am you. It makes me no different. I'm not special. I go through less hell maybe than you do. Okay? But I don't want you to go through hell. I don't want you to suffer. Why? Because you're me. I don't want anybody to suffer. You can get the most horrendous news. And I heard from people that I was talking about last night. I heard from them. And they just told me how beautiful and wonderful it was to be delivered from the fact that their body has got, the tent has got a sticky note that says you're on your way out. I'm getting a new coat. I don't love you anymore. Totally at peace. Totally at peace, they said. Completely at peace. No fear. No fear of what? I'm afraid my coat's going to die. Isn't that ridiculous? Now when we think about it, we're afraid the coat's going to die. So, just leave everything alone. Let it play out. Whatever comes, let it come. Whatever goes, let it go. Don't grab a hold of it. Don't try to grab a hold of things and possess them and own them. Okay? Just let it come and go and be at peace and enjoy who you are. Wake up and realize you're not a body. You'll get it. You'll be sharing it with others. I've told my wife, because she has a tendency to worry about stuff. I said, honey, don't let your worry smother that beautiful love that you are. Because that's what it does. It just smothers your love. And she said, oh, that's good, you know, because she likes to fuss, and you know, she's a fusser. She likes fussing over things, and it's okay. But if it ruins your love and your joy during the day, it's not okay, is it? Huh? That isn't okay. That's not any fun. When we're dwelling in the body-mind concept, we think that we are in control. We think we're in control. But in reality, we have no control at all.
Right.
Zip. Zip. Zero. The ego has no control over how reality unfolds and reveals itself. Now stay with me. I know some of us, our minds are getting a little worried here. Okay? The ego gets a little nervous. Hang on, stay with me. You'll see why. Reality is we have absolutely no control over anything. But what did I just tell you to do? What did I just get done telling you to do? Let everything go.
Yeah.
Set and don't do anything.
Yep.
So if you can set and do anything, then it means you're not trying to control anything, right? That's the key to the kingdom. Reality is we don't have any control. The ego has no control over how reality unfolds and reveals itself. How could it that the ego doesn't have control? I'm going to tell you. Simply. The ego is merely a thought in your mind. That's why. It's just a thought. It has absolutely no control. It's just a thought. It's just an image in your mind. It's the way your mind references itself, thinks about itself, small I, okay, and creates a sense of self. This is where the creation of this false sense of self comes from, is from the ego, the little I, they call it. The whole egocentric self is merely a product of imagination. It's a mechanical result of thoughts. Now this is where it gets complicated. It's a mechanical result of thoughts linking themselves together. And that's why it can become complex at times. Okay? Because now you've got a train of thoughts and you're in the engine. You're not in the caboose. You're in the engine driving your train with all of your linked up thoughts, thinking you're going somewhere, and you're in control, baby. Huh? And this is where we get tripped up. I mean, when this started really hitting me a couple years ago, I go into my business and I didn't know what to do. I was like scared. So, well, how can I have a business and not plan? How can I have a business and not plan anything? Do you know that's exactly what I'm doing now? I have a business and I'm not planning anything. Can you believe that? Huh? I really do. And you know what happened? It all got taken from me, out of my hands. I'm not going to tell you the details, but if I could sit over lunch and tell you, I have absolutely zero control over my business right now. Zero. And it's not an option. Do you know why it happened? So it could teach me just exactly what we're talking about. Hmm? And I'm telling you right now, I've got a multi-million dollar a year business and I have zero control over it right now. I'm telling you, I'm the president, CEO. And I'm telling you, I have zero control. Okay, I'm not going to do it in the meetings because I just don't want to get into it all. It'll take too long. But I'm telling you, I got no control. And you want to know what? It feels really good. It really does. I feel, I enjoy going into work every day now. I really do. And just waiting for what comes to me. And knowing I have the connection, knowing I have the connection to deal with it when it comes. And it's peaceful and joyful. And it's exciting just to see everything flowing. And just to be a participant now instead of somebody that's trying to be in charge. And, okay, well, we're back to being irresponsible again. Well, I'm telling you what, you've always flunked. You've always got an F in that class anyway, okay? So just give it up, okay? I've never liked the word even when I was a kid, you know, ever. So it's so obvious that the thought does not have control because the thought, what, is only occurring in your mind, right? It happens, what, and then passes away. It changes only in the realm of passing time. Now, if you want to enter in to that which is eternal, there is no such thing as a clock. I'm telling you. Because I mean, as being a business owner seven times over now, there's a clock always has been chasing my ass. There's never enough time. I kept saying that over and over and over and over again, you know. And what, you know what? You can't relax. You can't even poop. And that's trouble. Tension. You're bound up. You can't enjoy anything. Because you're waiting for something to happen and it never does. Something needs to happen to make us all relaxed, but there's always a problem. So you can never relax. That's no fun. I want to read you a quote from Bahara, and I told you all down in North Carolina that it's one of the most beautiful, most spiritual writings I've ever read, and I'm going to quote you from this book called I Am That. Totally 100% teaches about what we're talking about today, about who you are, realizing I am that. And it's not I am that in a bag of chips. It's not what it is. It's talking about connecting with this divine center, the source. What is wrong, he says, with letting go of all the illusion of personal control and personal responsibility? He's asking you, what is wrong with it? Both are in the mind only. Of course, as long as you imagine yourself to be in control, you should also imagine yourself to be responsible. One implies the other. Either you are responsible for nothing, or you're responsible for everything. There is no in between, he says. And isn't that what it feels like? Huh? When we're in that place, there's just no relief. Really, the mind cannot rest. Because it doesn't know how to be still. And so I've given you a formula. What would you do if you just did absolutely nothing when something come? Okay, honey, let's hold hands. Let's not pray. And let's do nothing. What would you do if you found your inner place and you really, really, totally, 100% expunged God and realized there was no God? What would you do when you found yourself in this place and there was nothing but you?
Nothing.
Huh? Right. Well, you'd want to know, who am I? You'd discover who yourself is. You get in touch with yourself. That's right. You'd become naked, Rick said. You wouldn't have any God to blame or call. Why am I here? What'd you do to me? What's all this? What am I here for?
I'm not sure what you said. Say it again.
That's her male Siri. Yes, we know the whole world thinks that.
How'd you do a male Siri?
You can program it. I called mine a bitch one time. She says, that's not very nice. I'm going, I'm getting rid of this thing. It's demon possessed. My phone is talking back to me. I was just kidding. I was trying to get directions from her. Man, she had me going on a wild goose chase, you know. What is wrong with letting go of the illusion of personal control, he says. The illusion. And the illusion of personal responsibility. I just told you that earlier, didn't I? What if you just sat there and did nothing? I'm telling you, it's really a key, folks. It's really a key. If you find yourself to be anxious, just go sit in a chair somewhere and get quiet. Get silent and ask yourself, who is it that's anxious? Ask yourself, inquire. Who is it that's anxious and why am I anxious? Yep. Ask yourself why. Why am I anxious? And in asking those two questions to yourself, I promise you it will disappear. If you'll do that and just get quiet. You'll get an answer and it will disappear. And if some of you get in a real, if some of you really get your tit in a ringer, okay, I'm serious. You can call me. I have some people that call me. Said, Mike, I'm really, really in a difficult situation. Well, what's happening? The mind gets so busy, it's just like a centrifugal pump. Sometimes you just can't get out of it. Well, I can help slap you out of it, okay? I really can. It won't take long. It won't take very long because I'm going to ask you some questions and I'm going to find out what the problem is, see? And I'm going to tell you then. And you're going to go, oh, I should have had a V8, right?
Reboot.
Yeah, reboot. Yeah. Sometimes they get tough, folks. It's okay. I've had them. Sometimes you get stuck. It's all right. You aren't different. You're not somebody else. You're still you. And everything you need for life is in you. You're complete. You don't need me. There's no such thing as student and teachers here. I'm just talking to myself. I'm just talking to myself in you, okay? I'm just trying to get connected with you. That's all I'm trying to do. I want to make a connection with you so that we can chat, right? We're having a holy chat here, okay? That's what I'm doing. It really can be very simple if we get in front of it. See, don't wait till it gets so big that you get stuck. Try to keep inquiring. Keep questioning yourself. What the hell's wrong with you, Nevins? I say that all the time. What the hell's wrong with you? What's your problem? And sometimes I found what I thought the problem was is that there was something underneath that propping it up. And I wasn't seeing that. Which is the problem sometimes can be a layer or two deep that I need to let go of. And I think that's sometimes how we can get stuck. Because what we think the issue is isn't really the issue. So Mahara, I love Mahara. I am that. Now I want to bring in an original quote from the original Phantom Man talk that I found that I thought, wow, this is pretty good. 6 years ago, and it was good stuff, Maynard.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even have to change a word. I said, wow, that's really good. I didn't even know what I was saying. Huh? Isn't that shocking? You can only enter into the kingdom by realizing that you already are that kingdom. And that you have never done anything to enter this place, and you can do nothing to enter this place. There's no door. There's no door you got to go through. I mean, you can go stand outside yourself if you want and cut a hole in your door and walk in, but you're just walking into yourself. If you want to do that, be my guest. If you figured out how to do that, let me know. Okay? Let me read that again. You can only enter into the kingdom by realizing that you are already the kingdom. Now, guess what? There's no place to go, is there? Is there? There's no place to go. Wow! I can relax. I don't have to run through airports anymore. There's absolutely no place to go. This is why David said, when I was in hell, I cried out to myself.
Yeah.
The prodigal son. Where was he at when he discovered who he was? Huh? No, you're kidding me. He couldn't have been in a pigsty. How can you find yourself in a pigsty, religion says? First, you got to get out of the pigsty. No. He discovered himself in the middle of the pigsty.
Yeah.
He says, wait a minute, I'm already the son. What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and shake it off and walk home. But he was always the son, which is the point. Yeah, it was. He was always. He never was not the son.
Right.
You know, and that.
He thought he was.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, isn't that good news? Huh? You can only enter the kingdom by realizing you already are that kingdom, and that you have never done anything to enter this place. And you can do nothing to enter this place. Wow. Well, it's all imagination, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all the imagination. We have to come to the recognition that we've been living what? In a dream. Huh? It's just a dream, folks. It's just a dream. It's an illusion. That as long as we're in this world, dream. You cannot work your way out of that which is not real. Ooh. Huh? You can't work your way out from that which is not real. You can't. That's a big, big problem, isn't it? Isn't that good? Huh? 2010, folks. Woo. You can't work your way out of that which is not real. That's why we get stuck on the treadmill. It's all a dream. You just got to shake it off like a wet dog. And when you wake up, it's like lightning strikes. And you never went anywhere. And you don't have to do anything. Isn't that something? That's why it's not real. We think we have to do something. Now, do you see when we walk through that how much of a quagmire? We can see what a quagmire that is, can't we, huh? When we get stuck in the dream of mortal mind, right? The illusion of mortal mind. Can you see that? Isn't that something? I'll post this on Facebook. You cannot work your way out of that which is not real. Wow. Because you're working with that that has absolutely no substance. Michael Nevi Mahara. Just kidding. I don't want any more names. My nickname's Moose. That's a good enough. Now, I've got a really good friend in Australia that posted when I was talking about some of this. His name's Brendan Laidlaw from the Gold Coast. Sally knows him pretty well. Hello, Brendan. We love you. The Gold Coast. Beautiful Australia. We were talking about the world, and Brendan says, it's not my world. He says, we need nothing, for there is no we. Just this, the inevitable isness, that you alone are, and there is no other, appearing as all. Even as this thought that says, I am sure I still have some lurking somewhere. What does? What has something lurking somewhere, he says. That's the imagination. That's what we just got done talking about. There's nothing you can do to work yourself out of what is not real. That's why we get stuck.
That's right.
Okay? There is nothing you can do. Because when we try to stack something to do on top of it, what do we end up with? The law, religion.
Yeah.
And it gets so deep and so deep, you can see why people are trapped in that, can't you? Huh?
Yeah.
Who is the one that needs? Who is the one that does? Who is the one that could attain? Who is the one that needs to let go of and surrender? No one. No one. That's the trick though, Sally. That's the trick right there. We think we need to do something to be who we already are. And you can't. How can you be what you're not? You can't, and that's why it's you're not being who you are. That's the whole illusion. That's why we get caught, is we think and try to do something to reverse or get ourselves out of the dilemma, and there's nothing you can do. That's why that exercise I gave you was so important, because you're going to get ahead of it now. Instead of continuing on and getting caught on the rat wheel, you're going to look at it spinning from a distance. And you say, I'm not going to get on that thing. It's tough. It wears my ass out. It's rough on me. I got some bruises. Taking oneself to be someone when there is only one reality. You alone are. You alone are so clearly that it's not personal. Identity is the veil, he says, and the seeming root of all suffering. And it never was. Isn't that great? It never was. Man will be as if he never was. Everything that man does under the sun is all vanity. That's exactly what Solomon was talking about right here. Everything. 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 So, this is a great segue into some more that I wrote that I want to share with you. Because this really gets to the heart. Now remember, I give you a simple exercise, okay? But if you don't follow that exercise, this is where you're going to end up, okay? And it gets complicated, right? when you don't follow that exercise, is when something comes, don't do anything. Don't go have a cigar and some scotch. Okay? It's okay by me. Who is it that's journeying for freedom? The one that's already free? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Who is it that's journeying for freedom? The one that's already free? Just get rid of the concept, I am the body separate from the source. You return to what you always were. This journey will take you back to your home. It will not push you to any new kind of dimension. You cannot become or get what you are not. You can only be what you already are. When you wake up from this dream, nothing else existed. Where there is name and form, there is still dreaming. Where there is name and form, there's not reality. When you aspire to freedom, the whole cosmos is with you. That's the only choice you can make, folks, is I want to be free. Well, who's asking? Who's asking? The self, the one that's free, is saying to the mind, I want to be free. See, it's all coming from here. You belong to me. I am you. Right? But who is journeying for freedom? The one who's already free. Huh? Is that a great quote? Put on your frigidator. Huh? We go around with that boot with the string on it, the little piece of wood with the hinge, kicking ourselves in the ass all the time. I want to be free. I want to be free. Who's on the journey? The one that's already free.
Yeah.
Throw your boot away. To keep free of any thought is the best way to help the world when the world is crying for peace. Okay? Don't get out there and get caught in the middle of the world, trying to get caught in all the circumstances and bitching and whining about what's going on out there, folks. Complaining.
Yeah.
Just telling you, you're not helping anyone. You're not helping yourself. And love doesn't give a hoot. Okay? Love cares nothing about results. All love cares about is that you find yourself. And in that peace, and when you find that you're all in all, you'll be in harmony with everything. Right? And you'll find that the whole world will line up with you. Now, isn't that a great place to be? Huh? Great. Okay. Thank you, everybody out there in Ustream land. We love you. Hello. We'll see you this afternoon at 2:00. Come on back.